Today's February 11th. February's half over. And Ryan, you had a very important tip for our audience.
This is a pro Aspie tip, as we often like to give you. This will be two functional days until Valentine's Day. But if you need that tip, you probably don't need that tip.
Oh. Rip our commenters.
Chris, it'll be the first Valentine's Day since your wedlock.
It's true.
You looking for something big? You looking for him to make a statement?
No. We usually celebrate Valentine's Day after because it's crazy trying to go out on Valentine's Day weekend.
That's not allowed.
That's what we do, though.
That's not
been our tradition.
That's not in the spirit of capitalism.
No, we wait and we just go out to eat usually like a week later.
How can restaurateurs jack up prices and sell you wine at double the price if you don't go on the correct day?
Oh, yes, they just won't, will they?
It's like you hate the economy.
Kind of do.
But you know who doesn't hate the economy? In fact, they love it so much that they just hand out free money to all the big ISPs over and over, and they ask for nothing in return.
Literally nothing.
Sometimes they'll even maybe fudge the data a little bit to squeeze a little bit more out of our pockets in the form of taxes to give to those ISPs, and they might have gotten caught doing that. Of course, we all knew sitting here, and if you've been watching for any amount of time, but it's good to have a little confirmation.
The FCC data fails to count 21 million people without broadband, according to a study. Now, we knew it. We knew it without even looking at the data, because why would they even be honest about this thing? But literally, the FCC is telling you, you don't count.
This is the old, like, zip code thing, where if one person has service in the zip code has service, and it's just this weird way they do the math, but turns out 21 million off. That is statistically significant.
Yeah, over 42 million Americans in total don't have access to broadband. Now, I know we've got a lot of international audience, and a lot of the international audience's countries, being smaller than the United States, have much better broadband infrastructure. Proportionally, do you have, you know, are there people that are living on like a goat farm 3 hours from civilization that don't have access to broadband in your country? I'm willing to bet not.
Well, if this story is in any indication, it may be that the FCC doesn't ever plan to fix that. They just plan to keep kicking that can until it is, you know, kicking it into atomic particles, or until technology comes along that makes them not have to build infrastructure. And perhaps they're making this move toward that.
The FCC reaches a deal with satellite industry to free up more 5G spectrum. The C-band spectrum is seen as critical deployments of 5G. So this is Intelsat and some of the other companies. Basically, if you read the article, you can see what the telecom companies are planning. They talk earnestly about what 5G is and what it means here, which is important because it means that other talk about 5G elsewhere has just been bald-faced lies to misleading claims. So they talk about 5G as needing something for like the near and the medium and the far. And those different frequencies have different characteristics in terms of how far they'll go, how much power they require, whether or not they work in buildings. And so when you have carriers that are right now today saying, we've got 5G, lies.
So they're going to snatch away some of that satellite frequency. But don't worry, for those poor, poor satellite providers, what will they do? They'll be given billions of dollars.
Yeah, and then the FCC is going to auction the spectrum and then give some of that money to the carriers as well. So it's probably going to be like a $10 billion auction by the time everything's said and done.
See how that goes. Don't have my hopes up.
Nope. Yeah, so that just kind of makes me sad, but all right.
And a lot of people foolishly had their hopes up about net neutrality. They thought, we're going to get this back because when we take it to the appeals courts, they're going to see what... not only was this not the will of the people, the law was broken in so many ways. It was shattered. And this obvious attempt to work around what everybody really wanted, again, to give money to the ISPs. And they said, surely any judge, anybody who looks at this will see it our way. Well,
the U.S. Appeals Court will not reconsider net neutrality repeal ruling. Womp womp. In the same way that the FCC has the ability to classify broadband providers as telecom providers, they also have the ability to classify them as information services. It's literally up to the FCC. It is why the FCC was created. when that rule was created, nobody ever assumed that the FCC would be both morally and economically as corrupt as possible, so that they would make the worst possible decision for taxpayers. It is not representative of the best interests of the people.
But it's excellently representative of ISP CEOs, yes, and telecom companies.
I also would point out that that article says that, oh, nobody has like done the fast lane thing, blah, blah, blah. That's not actually true, because a lot of services like Netflix and Hulu and YouTube will throttle mysteriously on even the best internet connections. And that's because of the whole peering thing, the whole Netflix thing. If you don't believe me, sign up for a VPN and then try to use those services through a VPN or even with encrypted DNS. And if you don't have a better internet browsing experience on your gigabit connection or your 500 meg connection or your 250 meg connection, I'll be surprised. But you will have a better experience because the data is encrypted and the ISPs can't mess with it.
Not to mention, pretty much every ISP has a media company attached to it through mergers or otherwise. And now they all have their own streaming service, or will soon. So
why wouldn't they try to promote that?
Yeah, they've
conflict of interest.
They rebuilt the landscape in the most advantageous way to take advantage of the repeal of net neutrality after saying that. Could be a thing.
And that's also foreshadowing, because we're going to talk about some of the stuff that they said about, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You remember ISPs venting their spleen over not wanting to have DNS be encrypted? That's also why, because if it's encrypted, they can't mess with it.
Also, that's terrorists use that.
So they would have us believe. You know who else are terrorists? People who don't use electronic voting apps.
Terrorists also breathe. You know, we should all just stop breathing, because, you know, who wants to breathe the same dirty air that terrorists
breathe?
I've
tried so many times. Yeah, the big story this week, and we're going to kind of catch up on the tail end of it here. So if you've been hiding under a rock, I'm sure there are plenty of people internationally who just don't care about the American election system. And
We try not to either.
But yeah, it's hard to avoid.
Not a big story even in terms of the election system if you're outside the country, because it's just the first caucus, which is a word you might not even care or know what it means. It's just this weird system we have for determining who gets to represent the party in the election. And the first one happened, and it was a bit of a mess because they used some software, and it was made by a very suspicious group of people. Now, since then, way more information has come out about that. So just keeping in mind that software built by people who weren't qualified and were insanely in conflict of interest didn't work. And now more information comes out, and the first one we'll look at is this one.
Shadow, the name of the company, which is totally not ironic.
I think that's the name of the app.
It's canceled Nevada caucus app had errors too. So Motherboard obtained the source code to the Iowa app and the Shadow app, and their experts said that it looked like that somebody had taken my first mobile application and just modified it to be the caucus app, but it wasn't built with scaling in mind. It wasn't built with data.
They just changed the variable names.
Yeah,
like, I mean, this is fine.
It's like, what could possibly go wrong?
Of course, you got to pick a Bernie Sanders here, and you think, oh, was Bernie involved? Well, Bernie was the target.
Once again, has that target on his back.
So yeah, this was just really poor software. Now the big question is, was it maliciousness or just stupidity?
Yes.
Never attribute to malice what can be explained by incompetence.
I think there's some malice here.
So Bernie was kind of expected to run away with the Iowa caucus. Now, the candidate that the Democratic Party wants to win, obviously, they make no secret about it anymore. They're very upfront about it, was Joe Biden. He did not do well. But Pete,
Papa Joe.
Who's Pete? I can't pronounce his name.
Buttigieg,
is that it?
I think so.
I just read it as booty, which is childish, but you really, effective.
You can't say that, though, because you just can't say that.
Oh.
Oh, no.
What? I remember now. Never mind. Yeah.
Anyway, it's like, why are we trying to use apps to elect people? This is a train wreck.
So, but what they managed to do, if you're a fan of the sports, which we're not, but I've watched enough of them to know that if your opponent is just running away with the score, one of the big things you can do is just call a couple of timeouts in a row. Put them on ice. Slow them down. Destroy their momentum. I think that's what this was all about.
Oh, yeah.
Because the results, we still don't know for sure who won, right? I think it's, they said it was a dead heat between the two of them.
Somebody used a statistical analysis thing to show that all of the errors hurt one candidate and helped another candidate, which does seem a little malicious.
It's very malicious.
Well, but also both Hillary and Mayor Pete had connections to this shadow company.
Yeah.
So, yes.
It's literally called shadow.
It had errors. There were a lot of questions. No one's sure what really happened. The only thing we know about is Bernie got screwed hard here.
In unrelated news, you know, the unironically named Palantir, it's like the unironically named Shadow.
What? I think they knew. But it turns out that wasn't the only issue, because now that Motherboard released it, everybody's taking a look at it, and we see this.
Oh no, the Iowa caucuses app could have had another problem. It could have been hacked. This is a little bit clickbait, because there's no evidence that it was actually hacked. It was just that poorly written.
Well, anything digital like this, there's always a risk, I would think.
But I don't think anybody would spend a lot of money to hack something like the election. So it was poorly done in terms of security. It was poorly done in terms of execution, in that it didn't work at all, and there was conflict of interest. So, wow.
How long till this gets spun out to be the Russians?
Well, I think we know exactly who it was.
I think the lesson for our viewers is that technology doesn't belong here. Like, we're not neo-Luddites or anything like that. Where you'll be hard pressed to find a group of more technologically enthusiastic people. But this is like, I don't know, something very terrible where you deposit alien technology and we accidentally destroy the planet because we don't understand how it works.
Isn't there like an XKCD where the guy's like a software developer and he's at a party and someone's like, oh, we should use this for this. He's like, no, never. You don't trust us.
For voting, yeah.
Don't do that, yeah.
And it's like, oh, but it's blockchain. And then that's just mixing like, no. But if you're going to do something like this, you have to... it has to be open, and it has to be done like the year before.
Yeah.
And give everybody time to. This was the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure these people got a ton of money. They might not have even... They might have been just useful idiots.
We need to invent our own encryption. No, what are you doing? You've broken all of the rules.
But here's the thing. Because we talk about, it's like, well, how can we ever... For example, how can we prove that you cast that vote and not someone else? How can we track something back to you specifically and be sure that it was you? And it's like, well, we can't do that. That's just not within the means of technology. And yet...
The government uses near-perfect surveillance data on Americans. The New York Times has an article about how Immigrations and Customs is using commercial databases to look for undocumented people. And this is because previously there was a ruling that said that they're not allowed to do this kind of surveillance because it's like attaching to an ankle monitor to individuals. But apparently, they're interpreting that as, well, that means we can buy people in this database. So, like,
it's not surveillance if you're not surveilling.
Yeah, well, yeah. Effectively,
we just have access to it. We don't do it.
Yeah.
If I say that you're not allowed a fried chicken, but you go down to the Mar Deli and get some fried chicken, is that the same thing?
Technically, we didn't fry chicken.
Yeah.
That's how the DHS sees it. But that also is a great underscore for how dangerous this technology becomes. It's like your biometrics, your stuff, whatever, is with Google. Google is held to a much lower standard than our own government. So if our own government can just fetch the data from Google, it is like as if the government has set up the infrastructure to do that. So do you see the problem?
Now, I think if we went to Google and we said, listen, the gloves are off. Do whatever you got to do. We don't even want to know about it. Just do your Google magic and make us a voting app where you are absolutely sure the person casting the vote is the person we think it is. And use all of your marketing data and all of your secret databases to vet that. They'd be like, yes. And they would do probably like a 98% accuracy. They also guaranteed would throw the election. So that's the problem.
They also guaranteed would be able to immediately find every undocumented person in America immediately, yeah. Which is perhaps not the America we should be living in.
And sell them something. Meanwhile, the House of Representatives, instead of dealing with things like this, are just fiddling and talking about, I guess this is important, but the bureaucracy is surely going to slow it down.
The U.S. House panel will discuss self-driving cars next week. Witnesses include officials from automotive, tech, and transportation trade groups. This also seems to be more about 5G and car-to-car communication than things like safety issues, and that Elon Musk is really just like off the chain and is doing crazy stuff in the parking lot with that summon stuff. And it's, well, I mean,
think about the data that they get from that. And it's going to be coming from the car companies. Once again, it's not the U.S. government tracking you. It's Tesla.
Yeah.
And if they happen to share that with the U.S. government because that's the law, well...
So you think about all the face recognition laws, and the face recognition is like, oh, we need to protect from face recognition. Dude, the genie's already out of that bottle. There's no putting the genie back in that bottle. That is just the tip of the iceberg. All of this other stuff is already there. Facial recognition is just the icing on the cake. We can do without icing.
I prefer my cake with ice.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really even need facial recognition. It's like your car drove these patterns in its entire history of everything all the way back to the beginning of time. I mean...
Chris, was that a sound of disgust?
Yeah, icing's one of the best parts of cake.
I think that calls for one of these delicious square chocolate things.
Muddy Buddies.
Is Muddy Buddy a copyright?
I don't know. So, we growing up, we called this garbage. But my husband calls it Muddy Buddies. So
now, but I think you can buy Muddy Buddies from Chex, right?
Can you? If so, my husband wasted the better part of an hour making these.
I guarantee you can buy these.
Probably.
In before cease and desist.
I've bought them before. I just don't know if they're called Muddy Buddies.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. That's the recipe on the back of the box calls them Muddy Buddies.
Engagement challenge. Now, meanwhile, we talk a lot about malware and how to keep yourself safe from it. And when you are one of the people who abuse malware, you are hyper aware that you need to keep yourself safe from it and have a little bit of plausible deniability while you're at it. So, if you're going to steal malware from one of your frenemies, how do you steal it? How do you keep that safe? Well, the FBI has the answer.
The FBI downloaded the CIA's hacking tools using Starbucks Wi-Fi. This is Vault 7 and 8 from WikiLeaks that they're talking about. They downloaded that from Starbucks. Now, this is finally going to court. This is a prosecution of the CIA contractor that supposedly leaked these tools. But I gotta say, so far, the case against the leaker, not super strong.
They do have some interesting details about him, though, in terms of he might have just done this just to be petulant. Because he was having a fight with somebody else at the CIA and actually got a restraining order against that person.
Wow.
So, is he a hero or is he just a little girl?
Maybe a little of both.
It also seems like in this prosecution that they were planning to just prosecute him for like the child porn stuff, which again is kind of like, wait, what?
Suspicious. Although he did seem like a kind of a jerk.
But they didn't gather the evidence from WikiLeaks until almost a year and a half after it happened. And it seems like that they weren't really sure about the child porn case, so they had to go actually download the tools and declassify them and blah, blah, blah. But remember how they said that it was over a terabyte of information? In this transcript, they said it was only a gig and a half, not a terabyte. And they didn't even get Vault 8. And when they got Vault 8, it was even smaller than that. So something's very, very fishy about this trial.
Because of my love of books and television about being in prison, going to prison as a child pornographer or a pedophile is perhaps, it's maybe one of the circles of hell. And if they did that just to punish him and he wasn't actually a child pornographer, wow.
Well,
that's terror. That's nightmare fuel right there.
Not to be crass or anything, but what are the odds one of the tools in the arsenal of those people is a tool that uses weaponized, you know, that kind of material? Like, they weaponize it as part of the tool.
Well, some one of those leaks had... Somebody found a function in there.
Yeah.
That was named something like that.
Yeah.
So,
what if, you know, the contractor, as part of their defense, would be like, that is actually in the tools. I mean, then it gets into, like, classified material, and you got to declassify it and crap like that. So, I don't know. It just seems like a mess.
Also, could you consider it, like... Is it considered a type of ordinance if you're storing child porn at the CIA to be used as weaponized child porn? What a dark, dark dystopia.
I mean, there's evidence that suggests maybe that's the thing.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Remember, they did actually weaponize it in at least one case. There was a documented federal case of that where they took over one of those things, and they kept hosting it to get more leads. Mm. So they weren't, they didn't replace the material. They left the material online, which is...
How horrible is that if you're the victim?
Yeah, I mean...
Like, you can't move on because it literally keeps being propagated by the U.S. government.
But people were adding more material during that time. Yeah. And they were just, like, watching them and building the case. So you could argue that if they had acted immediately, some of those children would have never had that problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, the horse is out of the stable at that point, but the world wouldn't have to see it, I guess, is the thing.
Yeah, ethically, I would have consternation about continuing to operate that for any amount of time that you didn't have to.
Gotta get those arrests, man.
I mean, the arrest
gotta get my bonus this year.
The arrest is not more important. I mean, you can connect. You can get the arrest by connecting to the victim, I would think.
Well, let's move on to a happier topic. And that is Clearview AI. Now, did we ever figure out, it was not clear if the Border Patrol was using Clearview. I don't think they are. I think they're buying it from a marketing agency.
Yeah, so I guess the New York Times article made it seem like Clearview was somehow related, but the other versions of that article that I read didn't mention Clearview at all.
So, it also would probably be hard to tie the undocumented people back with just a picture.
Yeah.
Anyway, Clearview is the... It's similar to what the Border Patrol did, and that is this massive... What was it? 3 billion online images?
Well, they've scraped the internet like Google and produced a database of faces. Not like Google, but web pages instead of faces. And that's their defense. They're like, it's just on the internet. We just built a database from it.
And it is publicly available. And can YouTube really, or can Facebook say, hey, you're not allowed to come and look at this website that's publicly available? Well, that's what they've done. They've said it. Does it mean anything?
Google, YouTube, Venmo, and LinkedIn send cease and desist letters to facial recognition app that helps law enforcement. So basically, the cease and desist letter is stop scraping data from our sites. That's against the terms of service. I don't think this would really hold up. This may just be maneuvering by these companies to say, oh no, the genie, put it back in the bottle. But I can't imagine they really care.
Now, the interesting thing about Clearview is that it is only for use by law enforcement and government. There is no private marketing application here. So you can't make the same argument as the New York Times thing. This is like literally a tool to destroy your rights.
And it's kind of cheap. I mean, it's $25,000 a year. At least the Chicago PD is paying $25,000 a year. It's a 2-year contract, so it's a $50,000 contract, but over 2 years. And that gives 5 police officers access to the database. I mean, if we had been hideously evil enough to think about this, I mean, the 3 of us could have built that application in a few months.
Here's a question. If you have a 2-year contract, you could probably go further than that if you wanted to, right? So let's say some police department was like, let's get some savings here. Let's get the 5-year plan. And then it shakes out in court quickly enough that they do have to stop if these cease and desist letters are true. And they have to destroy all that data. Now you have a useless Clearview AI. Taxpayer dollars right down the toilet.
I don't think anybody prepays on contracts like that. I could be wrong, but we did a 5-year deal once and it was paid yearly.
And usually late. So.
Yeah, and usually late.
Well, let's think back to a long time ago in the year of 2019.
When it's so far away.
It is. It's like a lifetime ago. When the UK government came up with this brilliant idea. They said, we'll block porn at the ISP level. And you'll need to opt into it and buy a license in order to use it.
It's the most British thing.
And many people said, how are you going to enforce that? That is never going to work. And they're like, oh, you'll see. It'll work. But then a weird thing happened.
It didn't work.
They couldn't figure it out because there's no way to do that. Who would be stupid enough to try that? And then the even better question, who would be stupid enough to try it now after that failed so spectacularly?
Tennessee bill aims to have internet providers automatically block porn on all devices.
Tennessee taking the heat off Ken?
Yeah.
Kentucky.
Woo, go team. Yeah, so this is going to end badly for all the clueless idiots that are pushing this.
It works exactly the same way. It's the same plan.
But maybe it'll work for us.
think they'll get Shadow to build the app.
Literally, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again.
Oh, and West Virginia also taking some heat off of us.
Just one little hop, skip, and a jump over to West Virginia. And you got to think that whoever is in charge of this program is just sweating bullets this week, right? Because after what happened in Iowa, there's got to be some eyeballs.
West Virginia is expanding its controversial smartphone voting push. Backers have ignored experts who say that online voting is a security nightmare. So this isn't for all voters. This is for disabled and elderly who have trouble getting out to actually vote, which is...
And yes, this will somehow make it easier for them.
Apparently, this is a very limited number. I mean, if you mail-in votes... Just mail it in. Mailing in votes is a thing.
Old people don't understand this.
Like, they don't understand the U.S. mail?
No. I mean, I'm saying, like, can you imagine an old person fiddling with their phone? Oh, I have to download what?
I tried to get my parents on Google Play Music. It's just been a minute. It's a disaster. They can't figure it out.
I did the Amazon thing, like where you do the groceries with the meal. And that seems like that worked pretty well with mom, but it requires a lot of hand-holding, because it's like, look, you don't have to think in terms of ingredients anymore. You can just put your meal plan together, and then Amazon will turn that into a grocery list, and it's really easy. And she's like, no.
Yeah.
She doesn't trust Lord Bezos.
Yeah, I mean, well, he does sneak some things in there sometimes, I've noticed, because it's like, oh, no, you don't want this kind of peanuts for the pad thai that you're making. You want this other super fancy kind of peanut that has like this incredible margin.
You know, some people use Worcestershire sauce with this, but I prefer to use Ring doorbell.
Anatar, Lord of Gifts.
We talked about the mergers and the filthy, filthy lies that come with them. And when they say things like, you know, oh, this is going to help the customer, and we would never violate net neutrality to do horrible things. And look what AT&T has done.
AT&T is doing exactly what it told Congress it wouldn't do with Time Warner. AT&T lost $1.2 billion in Q4 by preventing Time Warner shows from airing on Netflix. No, it gets even more delicious. Unlike the 96 Telecommunications Act, where like you jump through hoops, the people in Congress have wised up a little bit since then. So people in Congress 2 years ago, 2017... It was late 2017 for this merger. It's like AT&T, Time Warner, Time Warner Media merger. The Congress literally said, hey, you know, if we let you do this, AT&T could lock up the Time Warner content. And AT&T literally said, and I'm pretty much quoting here, no, that would be dumb from a business perspective. Our shareholders would never stand for that. You know, it would be, business dumb to do that. And what are they doing right now in 2020? They are investing billions of dollars. Not really. Yeah, there you go. So the entire business,
So they literally said, all these shows that we have, we would never pull these back inside of our fence and keep them away from people. That would be stupid. We would lose billions of dollars.
And they did.
They were happy to lose billions of dollars.
It's the vault. The false scarcity. Disney did this to us.
Do you see? So they've been doing this kind of shenanigans with technology and networks and infrastructure for the past 30 years, literally. And so now we have some people that kind of understand media deals, and they're doing it with media deals. Nothing has changed. This is how they've always operated. It is horrifying.
Well, Huawei...
I'm sad for a minute.
We've been talking a little bit more about Huawei. Of course, right now, China is kind of out of the game completely. Are they going back to work yesterday?
I don't know. I don't think so.
There was a lot of debate. Like,
I think it's going to be another week. Wow. Longest Chinese New Year ever.
Oh, man. At some point, that has to
running out of food, surely, right?
No. Did you see? They actually have... So, like, they all live in buildings. You know, they don't have, like, houses and stuff, but... The lobby of your building a certain day of the week becomes
a little grocery store, a
little meal delivery kind of place. And you can fill out forms of stuff that you want. And it doesn't work great, but it's enough to keep everybody alive.
Wow.
Yeah. Although now, apparently, they're just bolting. Here's the crazy thing. We talked about this last week, I think. Or maybe we talked about it on the stream. All doors to residences in China open outward. That's like a building code. So you just pop a bolt on there, Nobody's going anywhere. Although I wonder, like, the hinges have to be on the inside, right? That would be a security impossibility if the hinges were on the outside. Just pop those hinges off, people in China who can't watch this. Anyway, Huawei, they're probably going to have bigger problems than this. But the U.S. government, after they lost the U.K. and their little cabal, they are still out there telling us why Huawei is evil and what we need to do about it.
U.S. allies should consider Nokia Ericsson investments to counter Huawei, according to U.S. Attorney General William Barr. A sad, clueless individual.
He's riding high after the impeachment.
So basically, it's like, okay, if Huawei is a problem, you know, China invested in Huawei, why don't we invest in these private companies? And it's like, the government investing in what?
And those aren't even American companies. That's why, like, Switzerland and Finland, right?
Yeah. Google bought Motorola. Can we invest in Motorola? Investing in Google. That's funny.
No.
Oh, they hate Google.
That's probably why he didn't mention Google either, isn't it?
So, we find out, we got the warrant canaries and stuff like that. Websites will sometimes give you little hints about when governments came to them and made them do things. But sometimes they'll just come right out and say, hey, this was it. We had the government say stop, and we did, and here's how it happened. And Netflix is now giving us that information for the first time.
Netflix reveals its 9 government takedown requests. I read these, and it was not super horrifying. Although Saudi Arabia had a weird one they wanted to take down. I can't remember what it was, but it was like,
okay, so there's the countries.
New Zealand, Vietnam, Germany, and Saudi Arabia.
One of them was a marijuana related takedown. One of them was that's a comedian who has an act called the Patriot Act. Why would Saudi Arabia care about something called the Patriot Act?
No one can know.
Where's my tinfoil? I need my tinfoil for this discussion.
But nothing in the U.S. or I don't think any of the Western countries were in there, really.
New Zealand?
Singapore was the... I think New Zealand was probably related to, like, the shooting stuff.
Probably.
There's a gambling one, too, I thought.
Oh, Germany's in there. I wonder what Germany's was. Anyway, Netflix agreed to it, so they probably don't have a choice. But did they try? Who knows? We talked about the NSO group. The NSO group has been hacking some high-profile people, allegedly. Now, they say that they're not involved with the whole WhatsApp thing. But it's kind of a suspicious organization, which is why, if you're a freedom-minded individual, this might disturb you a little bit.
UK to host a spyware firm accused of aiding human rights abuses. That's the headline, but what's really going on is that it's a bazaar of sorts of all of the companies like NSO Group that make all these tools. They're going to host a secret conference for secret agents where they show off their tools. So imagine an amoral version of Q from Bond, but from a whole bunch of different countries. They get together at a convention and show off their cool tools for subverting democracy and controlling the population, I guess.
Now, you might think, oh, I'd like to go check that out. Nope. It's very, very limited to the despots and the retailers. Nobody else gets to come. And they point out how this gentleman, who was actually an MP who was in charge of arms exports, was not allowed to come.
That tells you what's going on there.
Can't have him knowing about that stuff. We talk a lot about in the EU how they've gotten a taste. It's like, you know how a dog, once it tastes human blood, you got to be wary of it. You might have to put it down because now it's just going to eat people because it's
the blood's too tasty.
The blood of giant tech companies is too tasty, and the EU has gotten such a taste for it. And so they're kind of just going back in time now, and they're like, all right, remember what you did in 2017? Give us money.
France fines Apple 25 million euro for slowing iPhone software. We covered this when it happened like 75 years ago. Basically, Apple added a thing to their operating system to look at your battery and say, your battery's old. It might not be able to stand a sudden burst of compute required. So it made the phone go slower so that it would be less demanding on the battery. I feel like Apple should have made the battery easily replaceable because it led to the battery program. And I also don't feel like a 25 million euro fine is
I don't care.
This is just free money, basically.
Yep. And again, it doesn't even scratch the amount of money that Apple made doing that. So
Do you think Apple will consider making battery reusable replaceable battery? No. So what was the point of the fine? France. I mean, come on.
The world
Someone
could
need
be
a new vacation now.
The world could be on fire. We could have like a 95% coronavirus mortality rate, and somebody could be like, Apple, all you have to do is make a replaceable battery, and they would just put on their mask and close the door.
Literally, a removable battery will solve the coronavirus problem forever. And they're like, no, we're not doing that.
Until someone yells through the door, you know, if most of the population dies, no one will be around to buy the phones. And then they're like, oh, never mind.
Well, they'll just buy up all the property for cheap and have true serfdom after that. So I think that would still serve their purposes. The Dutch came up with an interesting way to use AI, and it had to do with the welfare system. But I don't know how to feel about this one. You guys have strong feelings about this one? It seems like I can't decide what's the lesser evil here.
Welfare surveillance system violates human rights, a Dutch court rules. The government told to halt the use of AI to detect fraud and decision hailed by privacy campaigners. So basically, if you're on welfare in the Dutch system, they want to analyze all of your movements and transactions and that kind of stuff to make sure that you are not using the welfare system fraudulently. Like maybe you mow lawns on the side and get a bunch of income. I don't know.
How will it detect that? Because usually you're getting paid cash under the table.
Well, that's why it's looking at so much. Because like your spending could, if you're spending a bunch of cash, then it's going to know, it's like, wait a minute, we didn't give you cash. We gave you this. So what's going on? Why are you buying big screen TVs? So on one hand, it's government intrusion, which you have to be against, right? I mean, we've seen the problems with that. But on the other hand, aren't you kind of like raising your hand and being like, I've failed. Weathersnake hates welfare. He's all about hard work.
He's back.
But that's a good debate. I mean, it's kind of two evils, and which do we want the lesser of?
Now, I would also remind our viewers to think back to the whole Google thing. It's like, would this problem be solved in the Dutch court system if they just bought the information from a commercial database instead of mining it themselves?
Do you think they have that kind of database?
Google certainly has that kind of database. If you get any kind of credit card receipt or purchase receipt or anything like that in Gmail, it is already automatically categorized and scanned and sorted. It is in your profile. It is in a separate thing.
The issue with this, though, is it's like, well, I'm not on welfare, so who cares? They should surveil that. And then it's like, oh, we've quietly just started doing it with everybody now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's...
Yeah, it's literally like what we were talking about earlier, where the government doesn't have to do that. They can just now compel it from a third-party database. And that's okay, because Google's not held to the same standard as the government.
And
my argument is just targeting welfare people. Like, I don't think that it would stop at that. It would be like, oh, well, now we, you know, all these other people use the roads that their tax dollars built, so we should also surveil them, because what if they're defrauding us of taxes?
Well, that's what the U.S. was doing with immigrants. It was like, we're going to surveil everybody to find the undocumented people, basically.
And it's like, oh, gosh, what a terrible mistake. We didn't limit it.
Yeah.
It was everybody. Now we have that. We're keeping it.
Again, and then facial recognition is just the tiniest little tip of the iceberg on this giant thing below it.
Well, not to be outdone by the French, Ireland has decided, hey, we need more blood. We are a rabid dog and we must eat. And so they've opened up investigations.
Ireland's data privacy watchdog opens probes into Google and Tinder. Spoiler alert, they're going to be fined.
Hefty fines. What do you think? Do you think it'll be over, under 100 million?
No, I think I think Ireland's not super greedy. I think probably 8 to 10 million is about right.
You know what? You gotta give,
I don't think they think they can get away with more. They probably would if they could.
You got to give it to the EU countries. They know how to bleed them out slow. You don't want to kill that pig.
Why don't you tell us how much money, how much profit you made off of Tinder in Ireland, which is probably a much larger and scarier number than I'm willing to conceive, and then they'll just take 10% of that.
When asked, how much will this fine be? The response is, how much do you have in your pocket? Well, I think we talked about this last week, although it wasn't official, but you had to see this coming because China, it's actually illegal. Have you seen the TikTok videos where they catch somebody without a mask?
Yeah.
It's brutal. I mean, that's a serious mob rule.
But that's illegal.
I kind of get it. I mean, you're putting everybody at risk with your nonsense, but everybody's wearing a mask. You do not see, if somebody's not wearing a mask, they face severe consequences. But what about all those cameras?
Frustration grows in China as face masks compromise facial recognition. So some parts, you know, we've also got the whole Hong Kong thing where face masks are illegal. But it turns out face recognition is used for a lot of things, a lot of transactions, like your bank thing. Like if you go to an ATM and you try to pull money out, the ATM will make sure that your face looks like the face that's on file, not that it's doing it just with your face. It's just that's another biometric point. There's also face unlock on phones that a lot of people use. And so a lot of that stuff has stopped working because face masks. And you get beaten if you take your face mask off. So
that's a deterrent.
Was it Foxconn that has gone full face mask distribution at this point?
Yeah.
Like they're like, we're not making electronics anymore. We're a face mask company. Which is just staggering.
It's amazing that they can pivot that fast.
Yeah, that is. Well, if the coronavirus has pointed out one thing, it's the industriousness of the Chinese people. Putting up those hospitals, I mean quarantine centers, so quickly. Yeah. Well, Kenya's not often in the tech news, are they? And it's not for a good reason. And we did talk about this before when they were planning this, and everybody said, wait, isn't this what India did? And it got hacked immediately.
Yep.
And apparently somebody in the Kenyan government raised their hand and they were like, hey, wait a minute.
Kenya's high court delays the national biometric ID program. The biometric system was challenged in court over privacy concerns and fears that it could exclude millions from accessing public services. Yeah. Turns out this is really a cost-cutting measure. They didn't think it through. They don't even know how the technology is going to work. It's going to be implemented badly. Probably going to be a worse disaster than what we saw in India. It's on hold for now.
One of the most interesting things about this program is that the Sudanese Indians, like during the British conquest of Africa, they brought Indians with them. And so those Indians have like a lower place in society, somewhat like the black people in America had a lower place in society during, you know, the period after slavery, which is like, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Sort of a dog-eat-dog kind of thing there. And those people are undocumented and, you know, like they don't have access to all these things. So they're saying, hey, what's going to happen to these people? Because there's all these stories about them going to the center to get a government ID and just being told, just get out of here.
You're not really here.
Yeah.
What? No, that's unacceptable.
So what happens if you don't have a biometric instance?
Even the cows have biometric IDs in India.
Well, they're important.
We will learn later in the nonsense section just how important they are.
Russia has just been kind of laying low. Their BFF China is in trouble, so you don't want to make waves when your best allies are having a hard time. But in space, it's a different story.
A Russian, quote-unquote, inspector spacecraft now appears to be shadowing an American spy satellite. So amateur astronomers, not really astronomers, it had a term for that. I was like, oh, I learned a new word today. Amateurs that observe the motion of satellites were able to see that this sort of undocumented blip, which is everybody kind of thinks of as a spy satellite because it's not described anywhere, sort of, it moves around a lot, and now it's being shadowed by something from Russia.
Maybe they're just best friends flying through the sky together.
It's like a Romeo and Juliet kind of thing playing out in space.
I think that's playing out on the political theater with our president and Putin a little bit too much, too.
So they point out here all the different ways that one satellite could attack another satellite. You know, but from lasers to electronic jamming to chemicals to just ramming it. And so the question is it gathering data or is it just waiting to strike? We don't know. My question is, why can't our satellite turn and fight? We need
battle bots
capabilities.
Guarantee you, Lockheed and Boeing are putting defensive capabilities on those. It's like, oh, you're shadowing us, huh? It's like, bzz, oh, sorry.
Oh, that's going to cost the taxpayers. We just have just a tiny sliver of social media news today. Really not much to speak of. But we did get some announcements from Twitter, because as the election is heating up, so is the demand for Twitter to take one side or the other. And they've made these announcements.
Twitter is finally fighting back against deepfakes and other deceptive media. The social platform will ban deepfakes and other manipulated media that could cause serious harm. The ban won't apply to a manipulated video of Nancy Pelosi from this year.
So basically they're saying that if they get to decide what serious harm is, and when they decide that, they will take action or not. Did you see the Trump spray tan picture?
Yeah.
He claims that's doctored.
Obviously.
But if it is, it's one of the most brilliant fake photos that's ever been engineered. It's amazing.
I don't think it's fake.
No.
I don't see... I mean, there's a lot of things I don't understand about Trump. I don't know why he'd be so upset. It's like, yeah, I tan.
But
I'm busy, quote-unquote, working for the American people. I need to spin it.
But that's a very unflattering picture.
It is. It's not a flaw. I mean, yeah. He's an older man. That's...
But when he's completely, like, when they carefully place every hair and shoot him at the right angle, he can appear much better than that. That was, like, really the dark reality.
We have the technology, but should we?
Yeah.
That's an angle that only Melania has seen up until this point.
Oh, poor woman.
That's the same sound you made when I said the cake shouldn't have iced. And finally, Facebook had a bit of an embarrassment during the Super Bowl. During that time when your media presence needs to be on point. It's a time when all of America is watching. And what did they see when they saw Facebook's Twitter?
Facebook's Twitter account has been hacked. The Saudi hacker group OurMine apparently tweeted from Facebook's account and claimed credit for it for last month for a takeover of key NFL accounts. Ooh.
Awkward.
OurMine is interesting in that they do these like brazen hacks, but they don't do like the racial slurs or the pornography that a lot of those amateur hackers do. They're just like, hey, this was hacked by OurMine. Do business with us. Hell of an advertising, I suppose.
I think it's do business with us to help secure your stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They're saying, like, look how good we are at this. Imagine what we could do for your security.
Oh, yeah.
So, it makes sense. Although
with the subtle threat of imagine what we could do to you if
kinda,
you don't hire us. Yeah.
Although this is highly illegal, but they're in Iran or Saudi. Saudi, yeah. So, I guess they're above the law, just like the Saudi government.
Nice.
This whole section, like, your energy level just kind of goes down and down and down because it's so sad.
It is just so...
The government section, it's always
dystopian.
Like, oh.
People get tired of us saying dystopian, but what other word encapsulates every story?
The more people that watch our news, the more people, I think, that are sort of clued into the horribleness, and maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to do something about it someday.
No.
No. The only solution is to go off-grid on a compound and start gardening.
But we don't have that kind of money, Krista.
Well, imagine in the post-apocalyptic scenario, you roll up on somebody, and it's like, I think you would immediately have that kinsmanship if it's like, oh yeah, did you, yeah, wow, this looks like exactly like the level one prescription for, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, level one, and then you connect, and it's all good.
What was your username on the forum?
More realistic, you're like, do you watch the level one news? And they're just like slowly easing the gun out of their belt.
Like,
yes, friend.
We'll see you tomorrow, friend.
Bye.